Welcome everyone to Bulbacast English Edition Episode 3 for the week of April 9th, 2006. I'm Pi, and with me are Dogas from Dogas and Backpack.
Hey.
BGT Family.
Hey.
And recording for us is TSS Killer.
Hello there.
First off, news for the week with Dogasu.
The Pokemon Journey Across America Tour will make its way through the Clackamas Town Center in Portland, Oregon on Saturday, April 15, 2006.
Moving on, our main topic this week are skipped episodes, based on the fact that we recently had 3 episodes that were thought to be skits aired out of order. First up, the infamous skipped episode of Beauty and the Beach.
Yes, Holiday at El Pulco, also known in Japanese.
Yes. This one was skipped and then eventually dubbed, but it wasn't shown outside the U.S.
Yes,
and I think it was only shown twice here.
And when it was shown, it had what many fans considered to be the good bits cut out, a.k.a. James with inflatable boobs. Would anyone like to describe that scene?
Looking back at it, you wonder why it's even in there. Like, what purpose it serves other than just to be funny?
I don't think it serves any other purpose.
Along with the simple fact that that was the first season and it was under syndication back then and they had different standards, I wouldn't even think of that even if they didn't edit out that scene. It wouldn't still get to air today, just simply due to the fact that the standards are still to a point where that isn't allowed.
Yeah.
The thing I wonder about is when they did eventually dub it, they did cut out all the quote-unquote good bits. But if they had to edit it anyway, why didn't they just do it back during this original run? You know, why did they make us wait, like, what, 2 years?
Just remember, when they aired it during the Orange Islands in 2000, it was solely under the WB and not syndication. Remember, syndication, like I said, had tougher standards back then in 1998.
Yeah, but surely syndication would have allowed the edited version without the inflated breasts and everything.
Well,
I mean,
yeah,
it's concerning what else they allowed in that season.
I think, this is just my own theory, I think at the time they thought it would just be easier to just leave it out, that nobody would mind. But fans hear about this stuff, fans want to see this stuff, and so that, and they were probably also looking for something to give attention to the series. And it's always good to have a quote-unquote lost episode, something that they never showed before, and look, now they are scandalous.
Well, if you think about it, it didn't really accentuate any character's role in the series. It was basically just a side quest, whatever you want to call it. And yeah, it wouldn't matter anyway, because the next episode, which would be the Tentacruel and Tentacruel one, which would be next, even like I said, even with that episode removed, it didn't even make a dent in the series, really, in terms of the storyline. Storyline remained the same no matter how you slice it.
Yeah.
It was mainly just a filler episode, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It did introduce Nastina's sister, cousin, something. But, I mean, that's really not anything important. The next episode is one that I guess a lot of people think were banned. Maybe it was banned. I'm not quite sure. But it's the very next episode, Tentacruel and Tentacruel. And what happened with this one is that it was dubbed and aired in syndication as normal. And then September 11th happened, and when the show was rerun, after that point, this episode was omitted. And a lot of people think that was because we saw the giant Tentacruel bashing over buildings and things like that. And I guess we'll talk about it because it is kind of skipped, but the ban was lifted long ago, so it's not...
It was a temporary ban.
Yeah, it was a temporary ban. And just like the very next one, the Tower of Terror, again, it was a temporary ban. That probably just due to the title, is, I don't know, anything dealing with the towers at that point, people just went crazy about, oh no, we can't do it September 11th.
Another episode worth noting that they changed the title was episode 83. I'm not certain what was the original title.
Tower of Terror?
It was A Scare in the Air changed to Spirits in the Sky or something.
Yes.
Which I think sounds much worse, actually.
Spirits in the Sky.
Yeah.
Because that title implies that there are ghosts, and there wasn't any at all. I mean, what spirits were there?
Nothing. No relevant.
None.
Well, unless you think that Jigglypuff's a ghost type.
Didn't they think something was haunted? I don't know. It's been years since I saw it. Didn't they think something was haunted in there or something? Or they were afraid of...
They thought
Jigglypuff was a ghost.
Yeah, something like that.
Not really much to say about those two because everybody probably has seen it. But anyway, on to the next one. This is probably the second most recognizable episode that was banned, and that would be Legend of Dratini. And it was never dubbed due to obvious reasons. The first one obviously being the gun use. Second of all, Rachel Lillis refused to dub her voice for that episode, so that wasn't going to make it anyway.
Yeah.
So, I hadn't heard that. She refused to dub it?
Yeah, she refused to dub it.
Because of the gun issue?
Probably both the gun and the dynamite.
Or maybe the part where she has to seduce the warden, because I think she does that.
Yeah, that was it. Because remember, she does both Jesse and Misty's voices. Remember that?
Yes.
And one thing I want to point out is that a lot of the fans will say, well, you know, they get away with guns on Looney Tunes, why can't they do it here? And I tried to explain numerous times that, you know, it's very different because this is a more realistic series than Looney Tunes, even though people do fall from heights and get electrocuted all the time and whatnot. Still, the way the guns were portrayed in this episode, it was very clear that if he shot these kids, they would die. They wouldn't just have a face full of soot and then kind of get back up.
It was never portrayed as that, so not really anything to say about it.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't like the cartoonish guns, and that's why you can't really compare Looney Tunes.
I mean, you're talking about a 9-inch revolver.
Yeah.
And not just a fictional hunting shotgun, really.
Yeah. It's kind of disappointing because this is one of the few episodes we will get starring Dratini and Dragonair. Mm-hmm. Probably the only one with both of them. And it's also skipping over the main Safari Zone episode, which is kind of disappointing since I know a lot of fans of the games love the Safari Zone. It's a fun place.
This is also the episode where Ash catches all those tourists.
That's also true.
And we don't see that in the dub, so it's kind of like, what?
Yeah.
Where'd those tourists come from?
They just appeared in his collection all of a sudden. Someone donated them to him.
Sure, that's something. It.
Yes.
..
It was a gift from his cousin from another region.
From
that
his
will never...
dad. A gift from
yes.
his dad.
Yes, Giovanni. A gift from his dad. There you go. Okay, so continuing on.
And of course, the next one, Electric Soldier Porygon, the episode that put this series on the map to begin with.
Yes.
Everybody knows what issues that there were in that episode. Obviously, the flashing lights. And they had a problem here where they had the whole red and blue Caesar-causing scene at the end of the episode.
When Pikachu electrified the missiles that, I believe it was the ambulance, the antivirus fired at them, and they exploded and they caused a lot of flashing. I saw it, yes, I did.
And then when it re-aired in Japan, when they started back up April of 98, they showed a special where they explained the whole situation, how the rapid flashing of movements, the red and blue patterns, caused seizures. And also from 39 onward, they got rid of the Thunderbolt, the over usage effects of the Thunderbolt. It was kind of like, if you watch the early episodes and watch 39 onward, that the Thunderbolt isn't really as defined as it was.
Now, they actually went back and re-edited the first 37 episodes in Japan so that the flashing wasn't as quick. You'll notice that in the first 37 episodes, or 38, however many, that the flashing is much slower. You can tell that someone digitally slowed it down. A lot of people think 4Kids did that, but no, it's actually the people in Japan, they did it, because they still rerun the show every now and then.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes,
so they don't want to risk the chance of causing any more seizures, so they re-edited those episodes.
And that's why when you see the re-edited episodes, they usually have the second version of that opening.
Yeah.
Because the second version denotes that it was after the first airing, because the original airing had simpler opening graphic. So that's what happens when they usually re-air on private TV stations in Japan.
I believe that the episode itself is banned, though, the Porygon episode, that it's not allowed to be aired anywhere, not even in Japan, not even edited.
If I recall correctly, I believe the Japanese government destroyed the tapes.
Yes, even if they wanted to edit it and air it again, they couldn't. It's against the law.
And they don't even have the footage.
From episode 39 on, isn't that when they started showing that warning or whatever? Or not?
Yeah, they start show a warning in front of this, and actually every anime series, if you
notice.
Yes,
that's right.
They have a warning that says, please sit in a well-lit room away from the TV, and this is why. I mean, Pokemon's not the only show that does this either. Every other anime, if you look.
I think it actually wouldn't be such a bad idea if they started doing that for American cartoons. I mean, they're not as flashy as Japanese ones, but it's just a generally good idea to tell kids, get away from the TV. Don't.
Yeah, but kids in the United States don't generally sit that close. I mean, you're talking about Japanese kids, they sit about 6 inches in front of their television
True.
Sets.
This was also the episode that pretty much ruined Porygon. Because of this episode, we will never see Porygon again. And we haven't seen Porygon 2 in the anime.
Yeah, I think we've seen a Porygon in the background of one scene something else, just as
one of like the World of Pokemon things.
Yeah.
From the movies, I think that's
something like that.
I think that's the only context we'll ever see any of these animated ever again,
it's
which is a shame.
It is a shame because Porygon.
First of all, it was Pikachu's fault.
Yeah, and Porygon is a cool Pokemon. I mean, I could see them doing a completely different episode involving Porygon, one that didn't have explosions and flashing lights, but unfortunately, they probably never will. Just like it's kind of an issue for airing Jinx in the United States, it's probably an issue airing Porygon over there.
Oh, the sad thing is that this is a really good episode. It's pretty imaginative. The filler character is interesting. It's a neat idea. The whole Pokeball transport system, it's something that we've never really revisited.
And here's a very interesting thing. This is probably my favorite episode of the first season, and it's the only episode that I know of that is actually focused around computers. And
I think you're right, yeah.
There's not really any other that I know of.
I mean, considering the great lengths that they've animated the inside of transport machine of computer, whatever you want to call it, it really made that episode hard to forget. And not only because of the whole seizure issue, but just because of the whole writing standpoint of it.
I mean, it's nice to have a background that isn't generic forest or some random city. It was a nice change of pace, and it's a shame that we will never see it outside of illegal bootlegs.
Mm-hmm. Which are all over the internet, but anyway. After Electric Soldier Porygon, the next skip episode, well, this one's not a skipped episode, actually, but it's the episode Holiday Hijinks.
Well, here's the deal. Besides the whole point that it contained a black jink, there was nothing really wrong with it. I mean, the whole writing and the situations that they had in that episode, it wasn't really controversial.
Yeah.
But once again, one lady had to open up her mouth, and that changed the entire face of the enemy forever.
And people say fans can't change it.
Remember.
Oh yeah, enemies can change everything, but fans can't do anything.
just remember this one simple saying. Mm-hmm. One person can change the world, and that's what indeed happened here.
It was dubbed and it was aired multiple times, and then it was pulled from reruns. I believe Cartoon Network, maybe they weren't given the tape, or they just chose not to air it, but when they got around to airing these old Kanto episodes, they skipped over this one.
Mm.
So a lot of people think, oh, it was skipped over because of the big ruckus caused by Miss Weatherford about Jinx being a racist stereotype.
I think it's just over-exaggeration.
It's available, you can get it on DVD, so it's not that big a deal in my eyes that this one episode was skipped over.
But you have to consider that most of the DVDs for Kanto are out of print.
Well, actually, Australia is getting box sets, so maybe, hopefully, U.S. will get box sets, too?
Yes,
everybody
remember,
cross your fingers.
Yes, but remember that they're under different licensing companies for DVDs.
True.
Here,
yes.
True.
Yeah, over here, it's Pioneer, if I recall correctly. Yeah.
Who knows? The Pokemon USA taking over, they could pull something. I don't know.
Yeah.
After that is another episode that never made it to the U.S. in any dubbed format. One that I actually quite enjoy a lot, the Ice Cave, which is another Jinx episode in which they go to the ice cave, Team Rocket sprays water all over the group, Brock ends up getting sick, they find a Poké Center where there's a Nurse Joy and a Jinx, and the Jinx takes care of him. There's a very amusingly awkward scene where Brock in his fever mistakes the Jinx for a Nurse Joy and gets a nice big smooch from it. And by the end of the episode, Brock and the Jinx are good friends, but Brock continues on his way with Ash and company, of course, leaving his friends in the ice cave.
Really, I've seen nothing wrong in the episode besides the fact that Jinx kisses Brock and you got the whole problem there.
What's wrong with kissing Brock?
Yeah, but still, the whole Miss Rutherford thing and...
Yes.
A lot of people want to say that this episode is banned because of the SARS incident, which makes absolutely no sense, because catching a cold from being sprayed with water when you're inside a frozen cave is completely different from contracting the SARS virus. I don't really understand why people are saying, oh, it's banned because of the SARS incident, and if you actually watch the episode, it has nothing to do with it.
Like I said, it's just a scare tactic and over-exaggeration.
It's probably mostly because of Jinx, and that's why we will never see the one time Brock gets a kiss.
Look at the trend. Half the episode they're banned because of Jinx. Holiday Hijinks was also banned over that issue. So
the thing that's weird to me is that I think by this point in the whole franchise, the Purple Jinx had made its debut in some video games or something.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering why the anime continued to use the black version when the anime was what got it in trouble in the first place.
That's a good question. I don't know, maybe they didn't realize just how much it bothered the people here in the U.S. to see black Jinx versus a purple Jinx.
I mean, Japan didn't really do anything until the Hoenn episodes much, much later on.
Mm.
They were still using the black version in the last game, and they used the And, you know, they use the black version in the first contest episode, All Things Bright and Beautiful.
Which was cut.
Yeah, so, I mean, they just kind of, I don't know, the anime just seemed to be a little slow on changing the whole thing.
The next banned episode was Shaking Island Battle, Barboach vs. Whiskash. This is the only banned episode that was never even aired in Japan. The only thing we know of it are a few clips from a preview for it. And it's assumable that the reason that it was skipped was because it involved earthquakes, and at the time, Japan was experiencing some rather severe earthquakes, I believe.
If I recall correctly, and according to Zen as well, the people in northern Japan, the first airing of this, they've actually gotten to see the AG 101 preview after AG 100, but at the later airings in southern Japan, they got the preview for AG 102, because they must have gotten word from TV Tokyo that they were going to skip that, so they decided not to do that.
Okay, because I was in Japan at the time. I was in Nagoya, which is right in the middle of Japan, and we got the preview for the 102, which was the Genji episode, so we didn't get to see the earthquake thing. And so I remember when I saw the preview, I went online and wondered, hey, wait a minute, what about this episode? Was our information wrong or something?
And also to note that TV Tokyo outsourced its anime feeds to other stations throughout Japan, so it could be aired later and they could have gotten an edited version.
So it was basically banned just because of earthquakes, and I guess TV Tokyo just didn't give 4Kids the tape, so they couldn't dub it. I mean, it wouldn't have any problem in the U.S., because we don't really have...
Except maybe in California.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we don't really have massive earthquakes that leave hundreds of thousands of people homeless like it did in Japan.
And also consider that Japan has earthquakes every single day, even though they are minor.
When I was in Japan, I got used to them. I would sleep through earthquakes. I mean, it was just part of your daily life. So I can see why they maybe didn't want to show kids dealing with an earthquake in a cartoon so soon after a disaster like this.
The next episode isn't really a skipped one, but it was just never bothered to be dubbed because all it was a clip episode that would be in English. Ash versus May in the Heated Battles of Hoenn. One of the reasons why I don't think they dubbed this was because all it did was they showed old clips of gym battles and contests with narration. And, of course, I would think that many kids would find that boring.
The thing about this is that 4Kids has dubbed, they dubbed a Yu-Gi-Oh! Clip show. So I really, really thought they would dub this one. Just because it is a regular episode like any other, but they never did. And, I mean, most people didn't care because nobody likes clip shows, like you said.
And some people don't even count it as an episode in the episode guide anyway.
It's gone, whatever.
And this one was actually particularly bad because they just didn't have any fun with it. First of all, they had their regular TV narrator doing it instead of having Ash and May narrate it, which would have been much better.
Brock!
Like, the dub could have really fixed this. They really could have fixed a lot of the music issues because they didn't remix any of the music at all. You could tell when they cut footage because the music would skip in the Japanese version, and it was just really awkwardly edited.
If the dub could do a better job with the music, you know it's gotta be bad in the original.
I mean, it was just, there's so many times in the Japanese episode when it just skipped, and it was just weird. They placed emphasis on some gym battles over others, and it was just a really, really poorly made episode. So it would be great to have every episode dubbed and everything, but I'm not too upset about this one.
So I think there's not really much to say about that. If you actually missed the clip episode, I'm sorry. I'll shed a tear for you.
And for a plug, you can get them at Pound Pokemonsters on IRC.digitunes.net because we want you there. We need more people. You can fulfill all of your dub needs or Japanese needs or whatever needs you need, among other things. And come by for a good chat because we usually have those every single night.
Moving on, we're now going to talk about this week's episode, The Scheme Team.
This episode was the start of the whole Battle Frontier. Well, it was kind of the transition between Hoenn League and the Battle Frontier. We were introduced to Scott. We were introduced to Agatha. She running the gym, and everybody split off in their separate ways. And then we went back to Ash's house, and Misty was there, and Max showed up at the end. And it was just one of those nice transition episodes. And it gives you all this promise of, oh, it's a new land. We're going to have all these new adventures.
New motto.
Yes, we had a new Team Rocket motto, which was...
For the first time ever!
Very exciting, and if a lot of people like the animation for that motto, then you're in luck because they will repeat that exact same motto animation at least a dozen more times.
I think I've counted, and I think they've used that same animation about 25 or 30 times.
I think
they're going to have fun.
I think it's pretty funny because I know when it aired in Japan, there was a lot of complaints about the 3D animation, and yet now there's like nothing but people saying, oh my god, that's so cool, and loving the animation.
Well, I mean, this looks decent. It's not like random CGI bubbles.
Yeah.
In the middle of an otherwise 2D scene.
Just a little heads up for the people who haven't watched any Battle Frontier episodes yet. There are some episodes that will be nothing but CGI. And there will be some
little hand-drawn or not CGI stuff.
Yeah.
Just a little.
The CGI goes up a lot in the Battle Frontier.
Yeah, and sometimes they use it a little bit too much, and our viewers will see what we mean by that. And some episodes they don't use CGI at all, which is kind of a break for the writers and the artists. But
no, I think I can spot like a little bits of CGI in almost every Battle Frontier episode. I'd have to go through them one by one, but sometimes the CGI is just very small and non-obtrusive, and that's where we like it.
It's just cheaper to do it that way in CGI.
Yeah.
That's the real reason they're doing it, is because it's cheaper.
Yeah, and it looks that way too.
Yeah.
Usually. But
so we got the new motto. We got to hear Scott, who had, I believe, on the forums, it was described as slimy, which I completely agree with. It was it's just a really creepy voice.
I like the Japanese voice better.
By the end of the episode, I got more used to it, but at the beginning, I was like, wow, he really sounds like a creepy stalker. I would not want to meet him in a dark alley.
Maybe they really are reading what we're saying, because there seems to be a lot of people who think that, yeah, Scott's a creepy stalker. So now they're making him sound like a creepy stalker. So a lot of people are like, hey, this fits.
We got to hear Butch and Cassidy again for the last time, and then who knows when they'll show up again. But they were there in their segues.
They're mysterious that way. You never know when they're going to show up again.
So, you know, will we ever hear Chainsmoking Butch ever again? Don't know. There was a lot going on this episode. Misty came back, and she had that Azrael, which was from an egg that Tracy gave her.
I think we've heard pretty much the most outlandish theories that can be thrown out already. Human parents, Misty's Psyduck is a parent, like any non-Meryl parents, because I think they respect the game mechanics enough to know that it has to be two Meryl, or a Meryl and an Azumarill, or two Azumarill to get an Azurill. But that still leaves the question of where'd the other Meryl or Azumarill come from? Or where did both the Meryls and Azumarills? But then again, there's like every Pokemon ever at Professor Oak's laboratory, so it's not that much of a stretch.
I mean, it could just be some random two Pokemon that they just breeded together, or who just happened to fall in love, had a kid. Tracy gave the egg to Misty. You know,
maybe
it doesn't necessarily have to be the child of Tracy's Meryl.
I think we can make the jump of logic that there's a good chance that it is, just because it's an Azurill egg, and Tracy has a Meryl, and Tracy was the one who gave away the egg. So, it's a pretty easy jump of logic that his Meryl was one of the Pokemon that helped make this egg.
That was good from Ash's dad.
Yes, more things from Ash's dad.
Trapped inside the GS ball.
All right. People, please email us. We really, really, really want to hear from you. Don't make me start begging you. Well, I guess I just did. But don't make me start break out the puppy eyes. Please send your emails to bulbacast@bulbagarden.net. One question per email, please. And please send some in. Come on. Please. Anyway, in conclusion, I'd like to thank everyone for listening, and from Dogasu, BGT, Family, TSS Killer, and myself, Pi, we'd like to say goodbye and hope to talk to you next week.